Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence.
Oh no, Bill, that quote, judge not, lest ye also be judged. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Once you start to be judgmental, you're on the road to an unnatural self to me. You know what I'm saying, because God, that's why we're on this earth, to be kind to one another and be considerate.
All right, that was my mom, man. That was my mom. Love you, Mom. I don't think I could get a better clip. That's a re-air that actually was recorded Mother's Day 2014, and it aired on the Peace and Social Justice Show here on KZFR, Mother's Day weekend of 2016. But Gamal Mash here, welcoming you to the Without a Roof Radio program, and today's feature, creek cleanups in some of the groups in town that are working to keep our waterways clean, Butte Environmental Council and Chico Community Watch. Why I'm covering this issue, I'm going to try to put some frame around this in a non-judgmental way. It really started to hit an impetus for me some weeks past, let's call it 5 or 6 weeks ago. I was literally down at Lost Park on First Street in Chico, and I was on my bike with a backpack looking for someone down there by the creek. And it just so happened that was the same day Chico Community Watch was doing a cleanup over at Amphitheater. I'm not going to say that I know that these were the Chico Community Watch people I was talking to, but I think it's a really good learning experience to present that as guilt by association. I mean, which happens to a lot of folks that happen to be down by the creek. And I see these guys. They were cleaning up stuff, and you know, they were kind of looking at me, and they were giving me this look. So as I drove by, one of them says to me, "Hey man, you better watch out for 5-0. So I'm like, 5-0? I played dumb. I'm good at that, maybe because I am dumb. I don't know. But I said, 5-0, man, what's that? And they kind of looked away. They had a mixture of you're not worth my time versus, you know, maybe I'm being a jerk. But they're like, why don't you just go down there and ask them, you know, what 5-0 is? So I played around. I said, oh, I'll do that. So I drove down, going back down the other end of the park. They were closer to Esplanade. And then, you know, after I got a certain distance, I turned around. And it was down from two people. Originally, it was two people talking to me. It was down to one. The other one was walking away with a trash can. So I drove up to this guy, and I said, 5-0, man. You know what? I asked these people. They don't understand what 5-0 is. What do you think 5-0 is? And he gave me a dirty look, a physically dirty look, like, once again, I was worthless because I was on a bike with a backpack, and my goodness, I look like a homeless person. And he refused to answer my questions. And, you know, I basically said, so, sir, if you're trying to imply that I need to watch out for the police, you just have a nice day. And lo and behold, some weeks had passed, and I attended the Chico Homeless Forum, from Chico Speaks at Cafe Coda, the end of November. And lo and behold, on Chico Community Watch, somebody attacked the houseless representative of that meeting by name, and they went after him, you know, making comments about they think he's high and just trying to undermine what he had to say, dehumanize him. And I got involved in that conversation. And, you know, I kind of said, hey, you know, maybe you haven't been, you know, subject to vigilante justice by this group. And literally another thread was started. And, you know, bottom line is the group, the people that have responded to this and the one that started the new post, they weren't concerned about the vigilante injustice. They were concerned that we were bringing it up. And what was really fascinating about the whole thing, you know, there wasn't any quote-unquote yelling and screaming on our end. It was just kind of like, this is what it is. We both got booted from the group. We both were physically, not by Daniel, somebody else, a moderator in his group. The folks I've spoken to when they deal with Daniel, and you'll hear him in just a second. He seems to have a really good way about him. You know, maybe some people in his group don't. But we physically got booted from the group. And I'm like, why is the person that brought, quote unquote, being harassed in the creek, he actually called 911 and the person defending them booted from this group? It's very important to interject at this juncture two very important things. One was Sam Keller reaching out to me saying, thank you so much for lifting my voice, because I felt if I had brought that to the group, they wouldn't have listened to me. And a big shout out to Daniel Bringolf, who you're going to hear from shortly, who Sam himself said Daniel really handled this well, this whole issue of being booted and some of the things that went on the site around this. And I can say the same thing around how Daniel handled the specific issue with myself, including allowing us both to come back into the group, the Facebook group. So bottom line is, what you're not going to get out of this interview, there's been a lot of one-on-ones and group conversations around this. The Chico Community Watch has made some changes to what they do, and they've made a vigilante statement. They have asked several members to leave, and you know, I feel like I think we can move on and do what we should be doing, like my mom had said. You know, if you're going to be out there trying to judge people, you know, you're going in the wrong direction. So I just wanted to make it clear that we don't talk a lot about some of the issues. And I mean, I'm just kind of glossing over this, and I don't want to be naming names or quote unquote judging or making accusations. But the Chico Community Watch has a reputation in the past, and some of my friends have actually left due to the hateful comments and the way that the group was moderated. So I'm really hoping that we're at the bridge point here on People Power Radio. All right, Gamma Mash here with the December 13th Without a Roof radio program. And we've got a really nice show for you today. I'm excited about it. I have Natalie Carter, Executive Director of Butte Environmental Council. Welcome to KZFR, Natalie.
Thank you for having me.
And it's my pleasure. I had my first meeting and met Daniel Bringolf. And Daniel Bringolf is the administrator and founder of Chico Community Watch. Welcome to KZFR, Daniel.
Thank you, Bill. Good to be here.
My radio shows, I've done a couple of interviews around what I'm calling bridge building, but that's really the theme we have here today, is building bridges with dialogue and respect. So let's start with you, Daniel, with some background on Chico Community Watch, the Facebook group, you know, how it got started, its mission, et cetera, you know, anything we need to know to get us started.
Well, I think it's important to know that we're a new group. We got started about a year and a half ago, Facebook page about a year or so. And we're still learning the ropes, and we are a watch group. Mm-hmm. I think that's important to point out. We get in contact with the homeless population, but it's not really one of our main concerns at this point. We're into cleaning, quality of life, things like that.
Now, when you say community watch, you know, I mean, what kind of things are people reporting on the community watch page, mostly for listeners that have never been out there?
It's varied. There's all kinds of stuff that we report on, even to bent signposts, to stolen bikes, to graffiti, you know, of course, the homeless, and some of the our river waterways and stuff like that that we need to try to clean up.
All right, Natalie, what's Beck's position or role on Chico Community Watch, aka why are you involved in this conversation here today?
Sure, it's a great question. So Butte Environmental Council has been doing our big annual creeks cleanup. For this last one in September was our 30th annual. We identified the fact that there was more trash in the creeks than we were going to get in that one day, and I think we've known that for a while. And this year, we're going into our third season of Block Parties with a Purpose, which are our smaller monthly cleanups. We select one little neighborhood area, and we clean out the waterway there. And so one of the goals when we started the Block Parties with a Purpose was to try to identify neighborhood groups that wanted to steward their own neighborhood waterways. While I don't think it was a direct connection between the Block Parties and Chico Community Watch, they have surfaced as this ultimate manifestation of a neighborhood group that wants to really steward their waterway. And so they've been doing these bike weekly cleanups on Lindo Channel for about a year and a half now. Beck has been super stoked on that. It's allowed us to focus on other portions of the waterways here in Chico. I know the city of Chico has also been pretty ecstatic about this regular presence, because Lindo Channel is one of our more impacted waterways. Typically, the Block Parties have focused on Lindo Channel and Little Chico Creek, and this gives us a little bit of extra room and is, like I said, this kind of manifestation of the bigger goal with the Block Parties with a Purpose, was finding those community stewards. So that's part of how we got involved. And now that Chico Community Watch has established this regular presence, we've been able to support that effort some. This last weekend, they did a cleanup starting at Chico Nut, and I came out and brought some extra buckets and trash pickers. we were very fortunate. We had a block party the same day across town, and a large group of students had come out to volunteer at the block party, more than we could really manage in the one area. And so we were able to send them over and support the Chico Community Watch cleanup. I signed them in at that location. So we've started to develop a partnership as sort of get teaming up to help clean the creeks here in Chico.
I thought an interesting comment that Daniel had made in regards to kind of the scope was homelessness. That's not our main focus. We're focused on the waterways and the community watch. What's Beck's stance on the houseless communities that are down there in the creeks when you do your cleanup?
We are definitely there for the health of the waterways and for water quality in Chico. And that is the reason that we are in the creeks cleaning up trash. But the reality is that a lot of the trash that we're cleaning up out of the creeks is resulting from homeless encampments. I mean, there's a lot that comes from road traffic, and you would be surprised how much trash is not from the homeless community.
Yeah, illegal dumps, too.
Illegal dumping, landscape dumping, grass clippings and stuff. Yep. There's a lot of different factors that are impacting waterways where we are fortunate to have folks go through and do noticing. The park rangers notice, and we get some sweeps in the morning so folks get moved along. You know, I mean, we tell our volunteers that it's a non-confrontation policy. We don't need to be telling anybody to get out. Sometimes we invite them to join us, help clean up, and sometimes they do. But we're not there to interact with the homeless community. We're there to support our waterways.
And I have to say, I got involved, you know, I was kind of reached out through some of the folks with Beck. And, you know, Without a Roof was on the block party Saturday to do journalism and advocacy. And it was a really compelling experience for me. And we're going to hear from someone that I interviewed while I was there. Going back to you, Daniel, you know, I wanted to talk, I kind of have a prompt question of, you know, the past community tensions and anger on inappropriate posts and comments. And I have people that I really know. I thought they went a little bit too strong. They called CCW a hate group, but there's a lot of hateful comments on there. And there's a lot of times where people are just responding based on their belief or based upon, you know, whatever there is they're trying to get across. And it really is dehumanizing for a lot of people that they're talking at instead of with. I mean, what would you like to add to that so people know some of the tension that's been going on?
Yeah, we don't condone any of that language and stuff. But however, we are a Facebook page and it's a public page. And every day we have new members. We have a lot of people that are very frustrated over some of the situations in Chico. It's not one of those things, I think, that you can just draw a line and just control the whole conversation. It's one of those things where you have to kind of use a lot of good judgment and try to decide where it goes too far and stuff like that.
There was a recent post where they posted someone from a car had slowed down. It's a good perception. They were shot from a car. They took a picture of someone riding a bike with a brand new bike trailer. And the caption was kind of like, yeah, look at this guy with a new bike trailer. What's he doing with this? You know, there's more to it. There's a lot more to it than that. But, I mean, what's your stance on those kind of posts? I mean, that was just like...
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think in a sense it is kind of an invasion on these people. You know, we have people jumping to conclusions that if they have a bike and a trailer and it has something that, oh, they're stealing stuff or they're, you know, homeless or they're, you know, they're up to no good. And unfortunately, you know, I think people are just reaching out there, kind of stereotyping people, you know, kind of putting these things on, and they take pictures thinking that somehow that's going to solve the problem. And I don't think that's the case, of course.
Yeah, like there was some pictures taken at the amphitheater, you know, just look at these kids, you know, these group of kids. And it was really demeaning to me because like a lot of them were looking down. They're kind of like, you know, I don't want to be part of this.
And I think the point I was kind of trying to get to is that I think there's an appropriate way to take a picture if you're trying to understand a situation. But if you're taking a picture just to criticize or you know, condemn or whatever, you know, I think that is inappropriate.
Well, I'm glad you're saying that on air because there's a lot of instances where I see that. Yeah. And I've chimed in on a couple of them. And before we kind of skip on, I thought the funniest one, because humor is always kind of good, but about 3 weeks ago, someone posted, you know, I remember exact dialogue, but it's like, hey, look, obviously someone's setting this up. They put this stuff by the creek or, you know, to the side of the road, and it looks like a burglary. And then literally someone goes, that's a free pile. And then one of the guys jumped in and goes, I know it's a free pile. I live right down the street. But they were posting this stuff that people had put out for free and making all these innuendos that obviously this is a burglary. So I don't know. It's you know, there's got to be someplace that starts and stops.
You know, when you get into that realm of like social media, right, you are... beholden to the many perspectives that you are going to have in the public. And so something that I've learned in the almost 2 years that I've been with Beck, and I've been coordinating creek cleanups, and there's an overlap. I mean, you can't deny it, that there's an overlap between the discussion around the houseless in our community and the health of our waterways. It's not the only issue, but it is definitely one of the issues impacting our waterways. It's a very emotionally charged issue. There are folks that are epically empathetic and want to reach out and help someone regardless of their personal story and the way that they're interacting with their community. And then on the far other end of that are the just, they can only see red and they are just so infuriated by the impacts it's having on their community. And they're, you know, most of them have really specific things that they've experienced that have generated that sensation and that emotional like rage, and trying to navigate those really extreme perspectives within the community is a challenge, especially in social media, because whose voice is supposed to be included and whose voice isn't supposed to be included, and where does it go too far and where is it too lenient? That's a hard thing to navigate, and it's something that I've been sort of, you know, seeing on the Chico Community Watch pages. Both of those sides of the conversation come up, and even on the Butte Environmental Council pages, on our block party posts, you see that same kind of dialogue that can develop very quickly. You know, it's about trying to find that respectful dialogue between different perspectives and to try to parse out some of the really emotional core of that, because it's so varied within our community. It's so hard to have those conversations if it's so emotionally charged.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Natalie, I really appreciate that. Folks, this time we have Natalie Carter, Executive Director of Butte Environmental Council, and Daniel Bringoff, who had started a page called Chico Community Watch, a group, Facebook group more accurately. And they're both in the studio to talk about, you know, some of the dynamics around the group. And we're kind of at the point of kind of like, where do you see Chico Community Watch at this time, a year and a half later after you started? What's going on for Chico Community Watch?
Well, we are very excited. We seem to be making an impact on our waterways and in the community.
Mm-hmm. I see that.
We've gotten some feedback from Chico PD and different agencies confirming some of that. So we're really excited about that. So I think we're going to stay the course and keep on reaching out to try to, you know, connect or confront, you know, issues that people can see. Like we do a shopping cart roundup every couple of weeks too, and we're hoping that makes a difference.
I really think for me as an advocate, it really does, because Natalie and I met down by the creek, but I actually get upset, you know, people getting upset at the group that's there cleaning the waterways. So there is a lot of really good work that's doing, but it's a typical human nature. People gravitate to negativity, you know. It's just like, what absolutely negative thing happened today? Let's focus on that. But you know, I can see it. To me, the easiest thing that I can see is just the Lindo Channel bike path, the one there just before Cohasset, because that's always been like ground zero. You know, actually, someone had thrown a cart last time I was there. It looked really clean, other than someone tossed a cart off the bike path. But you know, I see what your group and Beck is doing, and I think it's really necessary.
If I could add one thing I'm kind of excited about is, you know, Dan and I have been talking about ways that the two groups can work together and that we can really maximize on those volunteer efforts. And, you know, he's got some really passionate folks in his group, and I've got some, and there's some overlap already, but trying to collaborate and find ways that our combined groups can make a bigger impact on the waterways and target areas collectively so that we can get a bigger area covered, and just trying to use our connections, because I've, you know, we both have different connections in the community, and trying to reach out to folks that'll help us get into areas that have been harder to clean, or connect with neighbors in sections of town that are looking for more support to be able to start a group like Chico Community Watch, or even smaller just neighborhood cleanup group that goes out on, you know, one weekend a month and helps out. So I'm seeing some opportunity for bridge building between Beck and Chico Community Watch and the larger community in the near future. So I'm really excited about that.
And if I could add a little piece to that, I'm looking forward to working with Natalie also. And one thing that we try to stress is to adopt areas. I think it's a key to keeping the waterways clean. You can go in once in a while and clean them, but eventually they're going to get dirty again. And if people don't keep going back, unfortunately, they'll get dirty again. So we do preach a little bit about adopting areas.
Right. One thing I'll toss out there, because I've got a lot of breath around managing social media sites, and you know, if you're willing, I'd love to work with you, giving you some tips or some advice on how to corral this. Again, it undermines the group. It undermines great work that you guys are doing. Right now, my favorite part of this thing is I'm actually going to play a clip from the last block party, the Beck Butte Environmental Council block party. It was at Humboldt and Pine. But you're going to hear from Kendra, who I've known since I've been in Chico. And she's a massive environmentalist. That's one of the things that she does. It's part of her heart. And the neat thing about this interview, and I'm going to be interviewing Joy tomorrow, but where she had her little lean-to, tarped, little, just a bare-bones structure on Humboldt, she was right next to a really good friend of hers, Joy, who's known her for many, 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 many years. And you're going to hear an amazing conversation between those two folks right now, and then we're going to come back to the studio and get your comments on it.
But like, I hear a constant stream of more people, and then I start fighting with them about the trash and, if they're nice and they share food and they share cigarette and sit and visit, then it's different because they're going to pick up the stuff, and they're going to be conscious.
Yeah, it's be part of the community.
Yeah, but if they're not conscious, then it's just like...
they're just drive-thrus.
Or if they come in part of the bicycle frames we have, I say, hey, just pick up the whole bicycle frame and take it. Because you're living under the bridge, or by bridge right now. So if you use the shopping cart, you don't part out the thing because it just dropped the little nuts in.
Oh, yeah. It makes a mess.
It's stupid. If you're that poor, just take the whole thing.
Oh, you mean for recycle money?
Or whatever they're doing. It just cleans out the creek bed better than to do the actual work in the creek bed.
Yeah.
Because you come out here and then you take things apart and batteries and cell phone parts. That's the problem for the ecology. Is all that little...
The electronics.
Well, yeah, and the little...
Cigarette butts.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Cigarette butts and then toxins like... I don't know.
Like
it's
the lithium
spray
battery.
Paint can. Any type of automobile or fix-it glue and stuff. It's too strong to be in the watershed. And so any... There's no point if you bring your bicycle down here and it breaks down here, and then they leave it because that's how you survive. So then someone else come along. Well, instead of walking up the creek bed in the last place and making your money by parting out the poor people's stuff, leave all this stuff for the poor people that's bigger chunks, and then either clean up the toxins or get the hell out of my watershed. It's basically what I say.
Exactly. I think if they put a big dumpster out here, I think a lot of stuff would end up in the dumpster.
Yeah, you think, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that that's a tribute because in a good way and a bad way, there's not bathrooms because people, a lot of times, there's biohazard in the summertime. So much biohazard, because people... not have a place to go to the bathroom.
Especially now that the skateboard park's closed. Those bathrooms
And so it's like a give and take because most normal people won't stay long. If they can, go and utilize the restroom, go and utilize trash can. It's like you have to have a break between the natural green space and the road.
Yeah.
And there's not.
No, there isn't.
And so that's the one thing that makes it very... Like, I feel like there's natural progression of people become earth stewards in this area. And because we care about the future, because so much stuff go floating down the creek.
Exactly. And we only have so much fresh water on the planet.
We take care of it. And it's become an issue that our water table has got extra aluminum.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I found a flyer in the parking lot over there by the farmer market. And so a little tiny bit of awareness is all it takes, right, is to recognize that we only have a little bit of pure water on the planet.
We do.
Yeah.
Like 3% of the water is fresh water and only 1.5% of that's not polluted.
And so here we obviously have enough money that we can... give to the poor or whatever, but the people who are local and who hang out in these circles, they always end up having to dump their stuff, right? Where they don't have cars. Yeah. They can't go put it in the trunk, what I'm saying? So it becomes very obvious.
You gotta either pack it with you or leave it and hope that it doesn't get taken.
And see, I'm not like that. I'm always like trying to be fastidious and pick up everything.
Yes.
Leave no trace.
All right. Thank you, Kendra and Joy. I have Daniel and Natalie in the studio. Maybe some comments around what we just heard.
One thing that I wasn't surprised to hear was that awareness and mentality around wanting to have a clean living environment, even if it is a creekside, and the idea that it is a shared responsibility to steward our waterways. That, oftentimes when we do encounter the houseless on our cleanups, if they're invited to join us, they might not join the full event, but they'll probably clean up their space or at least tidy it up a little bit and so bundle it up because we'll leave tidy piles. that there is a mentality of stewardship and a desire to be doing better, but that they are feeling forced by the lack of restroom facilities or a vehicle to be able to transport waste somewhere else or a dumpster. I mean, that there are some real barriers to that community participating in a way that is more effective in keeping our waterways clean.
Absolutely. What about you, Daniel?
I'll have to start by saying that going down and volunteering in the channels, cleaning up these areas, that it's been a real eye-opener for me. We've ran into some amazing people down there, actually. But on the other side of all of this, I'm just almost disgusted with our society to allow the homeless and not being able to take care of these people. It's just a sad situation.
Yeah, it certainly is. Any closing comments, Daniel? We'll start with you, Daniel, from our conversation.
The only thing I'd like to say is that I don't think a lot of citizens understand how powerful they are as volunteers in our community. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to encourage them to come out and volunteer with either Natalie and myself or any group in town trying to do good things. Because you'll find out that you have a lot more power than you know.
So if you want to find Daniel's group, just go on. If you're on Facebook, just go to three words, Chico Space Community Space Watch, and I'm sure you'll find it. What about you, Natalie?
I guess I think that it's just important that we remember there are so many different factors that are affecting the health of our waterways, that it's important that we not get too much of tunnel vision on the one cause or the one issue that we feel like is the most impactful, and that it's going to take a variety of community groups and different approaches to solve our community's issues around homelessness and our water quality issues in our community, and that by looking at the entire picture and being open to multiple solutions, that I think that that's how we really get there. And that, yeah, it takes the people in this community to get out there, even if they're just walking their dogs and they take a trash bag with them and they take up some trash on their walk. That makes a bigger impact than you think it does, because otherwise that's going to get washed into your creek the next time it rains.
Absolutely.
All right, Guillermo Mash, on behalf of the Wild Roof Radio Program, I want to thank our guests, Daniel Bringolf, Chico Community Watch, Natalie Carter with Butte Environmental Council, and Kendra and Joy. And I just have to pick my favorite quote from the show. If you can't clean it up, get the hell out of my watershed. We love you, Kendra. We love you, and we thank you for that poignant and very, very heartfelt conversation you had with Joy at the watershed down there at Humboldt and Pine. This is Without a Roof Radio Program. You want to find more about Without a Roof? Google us, Without Space A Space Roof. We come right to the top. We're also out on Tumblr, WOAROOF.TUMBLR.COM. Of course, we're on here, KZFR.org. And if you like what you heard, and I know you do, hit the tip jar. And until next week, always remember, if you have a roof, be grateful.